Hello and welcome to episode 87 of This Woman Can. I am your host, Janice Sutherland, founder and CEO of This Woman Can. This episode is sponsored by Purpose, Power and Presence, the leadership program for female game changers. If you're looking for a program to help you develop and build your leadership capability and presence, develop your strategic thinking and enhance your professional influence, then this is the program for you. Visit janicesutherland.com for more details. Now, my guest this week is corporate social media trainer and personal branding coach, Cher Jones, who has a love of technology hardwired into her personality. She's the founder of Socially Active Training, where she leverages over 20 years of PR, marketing and broadcasting experience to help professionals, leaders and business-to-business entrepreneurs develop a credible and strategic online presence while teaching them how to use social media at work for business. Her passion, knowledge and expertise have many referring to her as one of North America's leading experts in online personal branding for professionals working internationally with high-profile organizations. If you haven't seen it, Cher is also the host of a weekly LinkedIn live stream called hashtag Just Ask Cher Live, where she offers tips and advice to help you develop a powerful and professional brand online. Now, we have an absolutely fabulous conversation full of pure gems. And if you're facing the prospect of having to pivot your career, then you'll hear lots of valuable advice. So hi, Cher, and welcome to This Woman Can. I am so lovely to have you on the show.
I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
It's interesting because every part of our journey, and whether it's my journey or someone else's, you recognize how that folds into how you serve now. And I started my career in broadcast journalism, moved into marketing, and that was in sports broadcasting of all things.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Worked there for 5 years. And I absolutely loved it, but it wasn't, and this is, it's a perfect example of choosing, for example, your family over career, because while I had what I considered at the time the coolest job in the world, what had happened was my family was now suffering because I worked for the NBA, worked for the Raptors specifically. Wow. And I was working the pre and the post game show. So basically all nights, weekday nights and on weekends, guess who was working during prime time? Me.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to be there, and it just wasn't working for my family at the time. So I shifted in, I took my journalism skills, shifted into marketing, did a lot of copywriting. And this is to date myself. We're talking, believe it or not, almost 20 years ago now. When we think about this, so if I spent 5 years in the Raptors in the early 2000s, moved into copywriting, and this is when .com and websites were a thing. And I was like, you know, I've always been a little ahead of my game. And then I moved into more like facilitation and working with C-suite just as a junior facilitator at that time, and then moved into corporate communications and PR. And then in 2013, so these all these little things.
Yeah, yeah,
then, yeah. 2013, while I was working for the City of Toronto in a corporate communications and PR role, and I worked there for about 4.5 years, and my role there, I was in charge of an entire division's communications and managing everything, and then whatever goes into the mayor's office, I'd be writing speeches for the mayor, writing speeches for the leadership within, handling all the PR, anything happening with the media, as well as all internal and external communications.
Wow.
All came through me. So it was a government. Yeah. You do way more than what your title says you do.
Yeah, definitely.
And then at that time, this was now 2013, around 2011, that's when I was like looking at this whole social media thing and saying, you know what, this isn't going to be a thing. Right? And then But one thing that was really important for me while I was at the City of Toronto is making sure people knew this skill set that I had, because it wasn't something that a lot of people had. And that's as entrepreneurs, as professional women, we need to make sure that people know what you're able to do in order to present yourself for opportunities.
Definitely.
So one of the things that I made sure by the time I left the City of Toronto, you did not say social media without saying Cher Jones in the same sentence. So I made sure that I got a seat at the table for when they were developing policies, because there were most people where they had comms expertise or they had web expertise, but they didn't have social media expertise, which is completely different. And so I was like, I need to be part of this decision-making process. And then I also at that time developed the first social media training program for all of the city's communicators. And there were 125 in that communications role in the City of Toronto, because it's one of the largest municipal governments. And so I developed the first training. And then at the same time, I had my internal clients saying, hey, can you speak to youth about using social media so they don't ruin their opportunities? And all I could think of is, why not show them how to use it so they can get opportunities? And that's where switch sort of happened. And then I had internal clients referring me externally, and I was juggling this, oh my gosh, this is a thing. So in 2013, I decided to leave that role and pursue what I saw to be the future. I probably left a little bit too early when I look at those options, but now I'm ready for prime time. Like, this is the time right now where we as people, and this is the full circle story, where it's like, I bring my journalism, I bring my on-camera stuff, my production value stuff. I bring the stuff that I was working with senior leadership. I bring the copywriting. I bring working with the media. I bring all of that. And now it's like, all of that informs how I do what I do today and what differentiates me from anybody else.
Fabulous, fabulous. Now, there's so much takeaway from there for me. First of all, in a male-dominated sports journalism, back 20 years ago, I'm guessing, I mean, we think it's male-dominated now, but we've progressed, I think,
significantly.
We have a little bit. So what was it like being a woman in that environment,
It was really interesting. Yes. And my first locker room experiences, I remember before I got my job with the Raptors, I was working with our national sport, like broadcasters.
Yeah.
And one of the things is one of the areas I went into is like the Blue Jays. So the baseball, our baseball team in Toronto, the Toronto Blue Jays, going into those locker rooms, going into the Boston Red Sox locker room and just experiencing it for the first time as a young Black woman on top of that. Yeah. Equal amounts of pressure and just kind of stay focused, eyes on the prize, look at the mic. That's all you can do, just focus on the mic and then look at the eyes, look at the mic, look at the eyes, look at the mic. So, it was challenging, but it was about knowing how to, and this is the thing that especially as women, especially 20 years ago, more or less now, we had to really navigate our femininity at the same time, not lose it, because if you're playing the game, and it is a game. Yeah. It's like making sure that we're not using it in a way that is negative, but recognizing it and still owning it, but also owning who you are. And as a young woman back then, I was like 24 when I was doing this, and 25 and all the way till I was about 28. And it was just one of those things where it's just like, whoa, it was a big deal.
And then you talked about changing careers because of the family, the long hours and stuff. Mm-hmm. How's that played a part in your ongoing career choices?
It's always like everything that I've done in one way or another. And, you know, I would say my family or my marriage was probably definitely a casualty of my choices in some sense. So that was, you know, difficult and hard. But at the same time, it's like you're just trying to make decisions with the best that you've got. And it's always played into the decision. And that was the leaving the Raptors job, because that was like my identity. I was cool. Like, I had the job that every guy I knew wanted, right? And it was difficult. It was difficult to leave because I had to literally reinvent myself.
Right.
But again, I look at the story. I look at my experience and how it now informs how I help my clients develop powerful personal brands, or at least an online credible and influential presence for business. It's like, what are the things that inform what you do now?
Yes.
And that's how you differentiate yourself within a title.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. So share with us one of your biggest challenges and how you overcame it and the lessons learned from that.
Well, sharing is caring. One of the biggest challenges, I think, that I, something that I still struggle with today, is comparing my start or comparing my middle to someone else.
Right, yeah.
So just where they're at, and it's not a fair comparison. Yeah. And I see it all throughout whenever it's like your start could be, even though you're in the middle of what you're doing, I've been doing this now for 7 years full time.
Yeah.
And when I'm trying something new and I'm looking at what somebody else has already accomplished and comparing the difference, it's such a fallacy. Like, you should not do that, because this is how you got to compare last month to this month.
Yeah.
You got to compare to grow within the progress.
Yeah.
And so that to me is still something that I get in my head about, and I have to be very aware of it. So
And I think that's very poignant, because anybody who has watched you on YouTube or LinkedIn will think, wow, she's great at what she does. And you are. But what they don't know is what you're revealing here is that you have the journalism, you have the copy, you have put in the groundwork to get where you are. So for someone to come in and compare themselves, like I've just started, like me, for instance, compared to you, we're setting ourselves up for failure. You know,
100%.
You know, we're setting ourselves up for failure. So talking of failure, how has failure made a positive difference in your life?
I think it's being humble enough to learn from it. And look at it. So even as I look at my marriage that didn't work out, and I look at, and it wasn't like, this is not like one of those dramatic stories. It was just one of those things that just didn't work out, like prioritization of my partner and all that kind of stuff. And he, like, it just didn't work, and that sucked. But we still have a solid friendship, which is good, and growing and all that kind of stuff. So I'm grateful for that. But that failure then looks into how I approach relationships now, or how I approach my relationship now. And that, I would say, is one of the biggest things, because it definitely, and the reason why I bring it up, even though it's personal, it impacts, like, it was the work experience that, you know, where I was prioritizing, and it's not the only thing, but I can see where my priorities, where they were focused, and how to better balance that. And that was a failure. But now, as I'm, you know, closer to 50 than I am to 40, I can now recognize how what it takes to make something like that work.
Yeah. But I think that's progress. I am probably close to the 60 than I am the 5. But like you say, it's taking that learning from what you've done, and also knowing what you stand for and knowing what you don't want. I think that's just as important. Sometimes people forget, it's like, it's not knowing what I want, it's knowing what I don't want.
100%.
Just as powerful. So share, if you had to start over from scratch, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
Execute faster. Execute, get out of my head.
No hesitation.
There are so many, just do it, because your 10th is better than your 5th, and your 5th is better than your 1st. Yeah. And there's so many things where I have edited things in my head, thought about it, but never pulled the trigger, never pressed record, never started typing. And it's all been in my head, and I didn't just execute. And then I look back at drafts that never got published, and being like, why didn't I publish that? So that's just, start where you are with what you got.
Right. Fantastic.
And just go forward. Fantastic. And that's who I'm literally talking to myself. Like, damn you.
You can hear yourself going, yeah, I need to make sure I do that. I need to make sure I do that.
Yes. Even now, like, that's something that I have to constantly, in addition to comparing my start to somebody else's middle, is constantly just do it. Just record.
And mm-hmm. I think that's something for women to take away, is the fact that, and you're illustrating it really well there, is that you never stop having those feelings of lack of confidence or imposter syndrome or mm-hmm. being the person who shouldn't be in the room. But as mm-hmm. you develop, you learn the skills mm-hmm. that are needed. You recognize when it's coming, when it's happening, and you learn mm-hmm. the skills mm-hmm. to overcome them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you gotta recognize it. And I think it's important, as I even just self-evaluate as we're talking, is to self-evaluate regularly.
Yeah.
Like, where did I drop the ball? And I need to do that more. Where did I drop the ball so I don't do it again? Yeah. Why did I drop the ball?
Yes.
Is it valid or is it in fear?
Yeah. And not be beating yourself up because you dropped the ball. Because that's not going to solve anything.
Exactly.
So Cher, what strategies you think can help women achieve more prominence in their role at work?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. I think right now, especially right now, as we've emerged into this digital first workplace, the one thing that every woman, and this is where I get a little controversial, because, you know, we hear all this stuff about personal branding, you have to have a personal brand. And for me, knowing that, because I work with two different sets of people, some that need a personal brand and some that don't. And it's like, what? I don't need a personal brand. Yeah. And here's what I wanted to say about that. A personal brand is someone who wants to develop an ongoing presence and a platform and has very specific goals that require a marketing strategy for who they are.
Yeah.
And not everybody needs that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is a very large thing. Whereas I think everyone, and this is the starting point, needs a credible and influential digital presence. Sounds like one and the same, but they're not.
Yeah.
Because a personal branding effort is literally when you're thinking about, okay, I need to create a podcast or a video show or a blog or all this stuff. And like, not everybody needs that, but everyone needs a credible presence. So when I look you up, I know exactly what you do now, not what you did to get into your role or into your business. Yeah. I need to know, how do I talk about you?
Yeah.
And that's what your job is, to give me the language to set the stage. That's not a personal brand. Yeah. That is a credible presence. When I look you up, you are influencing the narrative that I will create about you. And not everyone, because see, everybody gets intimidated by the whole concept of personal branding, as they should, because it is a big undertaking.
Yeah.
But what you can draw back, and it's like, if you want to call it personal branding 1.0, but I really don't want to, want to separate it. It's having a credible and influential presence online so that you know you're building a network so that you can use social media at work for work.
Yeah.
You know that your presence is going to aid you, and it's not about building out this big following and having, you know, 10,000 followers on Instagram and like 10,000 LinkedIn connections. It's not about that. Yeah. It's about having something functional that will help you go forward. It's about being strategic with who you're connecting with so that your digital presence can then influence or inform people who didn't know you before.
Yeah.
So it's in a more of a micro, whereas personal branding, a strategy, is a macro. It's much bigger.
Yeah.
So looking inward and how that can help. So what all this to sum up is, you need to have a presence that doesn't make you look like a job seeker.
Right.
You need, and that's the difference that most people, they think, especially with LinkedIn, because that's really where I like to, because I play in the corporate space. That is where I focus with my clients, is I help them develop a presence that not only can articulate what it is you do in your role, how it is you serve the greater corporation, the greater, the impact that you're making through clients, whatever it is, whether it's internal or external. It's also, what do you use? So going back to bring this full circle, going back to all the things that now inform how you do what you do. So make sure there's mention of that, and that's how you differentiate.
Yeah.
right? So that's where you can make sure that you're pulling out what's important to you. Because the other thing that people do is they often throw all the things they can do, but not necessarily want to do all the things they can do. Yeah. So how do we shine a spotlight on what you want so people are now more aware of your ability to execute at that level?
And I love that because, like you say, it's important for women to have that presence. We're driving for more leadership roles, we're pushing forward. But sometimes the thought, like you say, seeing all this stuff about personal branding, where you need to be, what you need to do, that in itself, and I'm talking from experience, can be a full-time job.
Exactly.
Just trying to create that. But what you're trying to do is from, I suppose, an internal brand, is creating... a presence that influences the network, the people you really want to be noticed by, which is the whole difference.
100%. And looking for the right opportunities for that spotlight and all of that stuff, and being very intentional about networking efforts, right? But it's just like taking away what the world has changed, and rightly so, because that personal branding strategy, because I have clients that need to create and develop a personal brand, especially in the entrepreneurial space, or especially leaders who want in like to be business famous, right? That's when you need a personal brand. But when you just need to be branded at work, when you just need to be credible and influential so that you, when I look you up, you're somebody I want to work with or for. Right? And you give me an idea of who you are. That is powerful, because now people, when they're thinking about who should be on that next project, who should be considered and asked to apply for certain roles or certain opportunities, or when you're going out to create partnerships with other organizations, other companies, that you are strategic and teaching people. So what I do is I teach people how to be strategic. So making sure that one, they've created that brand, that influential digital presence, right? So that now they're being strategic by reaching out to the people who are in the meeting, right? In advance. So what are you doing? You're putting that presence in front of them. So now you're giving them the language to talk about you, the things to think about you before you even step onto that Zoom call, or perhaps face to face when, you know, that becomes norm again. So
ladies, what I'm hearing, if you want to progress, that there is some work and groundwork you need to do. It's not just about waiting to be seen. You have to put some effort into it. So you are more visible. You are more visible.
Yes.
So Cher, what do you think holds women back from going for their goals? You sound like you were pretty focused, especially going into sports journalism at the time. Mm-hmm. So what do you think holds women back from going for their goals?
I think the biggest thing is not doing an inventory of what makes you awesome. So what happens for me when I'm working with my clients is they don't realize how awesome they are until I start, because part of what I do, and I'm again leveraging my skills as a journalist, is looking for those stories, looking for those things that are like, did you know that this makes you awesome? And then putting on my PR hat and saying, well, how do we position this to the audience that you want to be in front of to make sure that they understand? So going back to the question, it's really about knowing what makes you awesome, what lights your fire, and what makes you awesome what you do, and then having the confidence to articulate it. And what I do with my clients is I help them in their language articulate what makes them awesome. Yeah. So I'll interview them, I'll pull out their language so that anybody I'm working with, as we collaborate together to develop their narrative on their LinkedIn profiles, it's their language. So it sounds like them, and they never sounded so awesome before. And they're like, oh my gosh, I gotta own that, because that's who I am.
And that's great. It's incredible, because I think it's a great way of doing it, put in their own language, because so many women struggle about talking about their awesomeness, you know, and you have to own it, because you can't keep it to yourself. No one's going to discover it if you don't talk about it, and you have to be comfortable talking about it so people can discover it. So it's that vicious circle. So I think it's great that you put it into a language that they feel comfortable with. And to be honest, it's a lot easier talking about something you're comfortable with than trying to recreate this persona you believe you need to be.
Exactly.
And then you get in that room and it's like,
No, exactly. And that's so important, because now what happens as a result of working with me, what happens is not only am I asking the right questions so it becomes natural and highlighting what I see as imperative key messaging to help you get to where you want, it also, once we triangulate that language, we pull in what's important, then when you're out there, you can very concisely articulate what it is you do and how you serve, right? So that you walk into them feeling that much more confident. What happens is, like, they become better negotiators because they have done this inventory of what it is they bring to the table. Whereas, like, we get focused in doing the work, doing the role, and not recognizing all these other things that inform what it is we do. So they become more confident negotiators. They walk in with a higher expectation of what should be coming to them because of what is, like, when you start to own what makes you awesome, you carry yourself differently because you know. And then when you set yourself up, meaning you're being intentional with your presence online, so that, let's say we have that meeting and then everybody on that meeting, I'm looking, I don't know these people. Let me connect with them on LinkedIn before the meeting. It's just simply, you know, looking forward to Wednesday's meeting, but in the meantime, let's connect on here. So what happens is all those people, you get to, is like, allow me to introduce myself and they get to know without you saying a word, because people are going to go look. So that becomes, people look at you different because they looked you up. You control the initial first, that first brand impression, right? And then it's up to you to make sure, and I do this with my clients, is helping them make sure it's them. This is who they are. So there's it's definitely congruent, and it's something that is like, this is who I am online or off, I'm the same person.
Great. Love it. Love it. So share with us, I'm going to get used to that in a minute. Share with us a success quote or mantra that you use and why it's meaningful to you.
Yes. One of the things that I love to say is, if you kind of sort of try, you kind of sort of get results. And I say that to myself all the time, because that's it. You kind of try, you kind of sort of try social media, you kind of sort of get results. You put your effort in there, you kind of sort of write a bio, you kind of sort of get an okay bio, right? But when you actually try, and especially with people who need to adopt social media as part, and not adopt, integrate that their online presence with what it is they do, so that they can be intentional for getting what they want. You gotta be in there. And again, and that's why I separate that whole personal branding endeavor from having a credible and influential online presence, because it's different. And if you try at that first, and then all these opportunities are coming to you, then it's like, okay, now I can jump into the branding phase where it's like, I want, cause I want more. You know what I'm saying? So, but you got to try. You can't just do social media half-assed. You've got to get in there, and you've got to try, and you've got to. And I know that, especially across the pond, a lot of people are very conservative around owning what makes them awesome. But you have to, in a comfortable way, let people know how it is you can help them. And that's that mental shift, that when you think of it in a manner of service, not showing off, but this is what I tap in to helping my clients, this is where we can go.
And I love that, because I think for me, having lived across the pond in the UK, and that's my leadership career, when I first started out, I was, I suppose, very conservative, because, you know, that was, again, we're talking 20 odd years ago, you know, this is how women are supposed to be, that's what it's supposed to look like. And I'm like, but no one's recognizing me, no one's talking about my awesome, because, you know, they've moved on. So how do I own that? And the minute I started to own that and say, hang on, this is not, this is what I do, this is what I bring to the table, I'm totally confident that I can deliver, your whole world actually changes. You know, doesn't mean I don't get a bit, you know, wobbly every now and then, but I come back to remind myself, you didn't get here by being whatever. That's great. So Cher, if you could, let me ask this question. What advice would you give your teenage self?
I think it goes back to, again, because there's so many things that just do it. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're perfect to do it. Because I struggle with perfectionism all the time. And even today, I still struggle with it. Yeah. And I struggle with over controlling things and thinking that I can do it faster when that's not the case. Because there are people who are perfect at what they do. And I should be giving certain things to them. But I think the biggest things were like where I got in my head about just not being good enough. And it's just like, how can you be get better then if you don't try? So it comes back down to execute. And I'm talking to myself right now at this age, you know, at 46 and at 16, you know, 30 years apart. I'm just like, listen, you know, you got to execute, just do it. And cause you're not good enough the first try or the second try.
Yeah.
In the 10th try, you're starting to figure stuff out.
Trust me, my video taking today, I've been practicing. It's been like that, but I got there eventually. Mm-hmm. So Cher, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
One particular thing that I've learned is that over the years, I've recognized how many skills I've acquired. And I think, and that's where, it's like we keep on having these full circle moments, but it's like all those things that you have done throughout the years inform what it is you do now. And it's about, that's the differentiating factor about you. You could have the same title as somebody else, but that your journey to get there was not the same as theirs. Yeah. So what I see now is just owning that. So I would say that's one thing, is just looking at all the things that inform who I am. Another thing that I see is just getting better at forgiving myself for not being perfect, because no one's perfect, and celebrating when I do start, and celebrating that I know that my fifth try will be better than my first try, and my 20th try is night and day. You think that first try was good, when you get to number 20, game changing, right? So like, it's that execution. So owning, you know, everything about you, and just owning it and using it as a part of your story and how you do things and what makes you good at what you do, and then executing. And then the third thing is just, if you focus on helping, you get to where you need to go. Everything that you create, produce, if it's service first, it will lead to dollars. It will lead to opportunity. It will go somewhere. So it's really focus on helping in the way that you can.
Right. And I think that's like all my reciprocity, is learn, understand that's going to happen, and have that patience. Especially if it's a new business or someone starting out. I think that's that's really cool. It's one thing I definitely had to learn again, moving out of corporate to entrepreneurship, was the power of patience.
Yes.
I wasn't very good at it, but I'm getting there.
Let me tell you, here's a good learning, actually. This trumps all the learning.
Yeah.
No matter how long you think it's going to take, it's going to take longer.
Yeah.
So if you think it's going to take 3 weeks, it's going to take five. Yeah.
Definitely.
Guaranteed. It always takes longer. Like, you think, oh, I'll get it done. I'll create this course. I'll do this 3 weeks. Okay.
Definitely. Now we're coming down to our last couple of questions, Cher. Where would we find you on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.?
That's a really good question. So usually this is when I'm just starting to think about, okay, what didn't I do this week?
Okay.
Right? Because like for me right now in my current life setup, the separation between my business, my creativity, and who I am, there's very little separation, right? So a Saturday morning, I'm usually thinking about ideas. Like, this is like idea time for me, where I'm sitting down and I'm looking at, what didn't I do? And evaluating what it is, why didn't I do it? And, you know, and evaluating external factors as well, because life is not business. You know what I mean? Business is a part of life. And looking at things that, you know, are influencing outcomes. And then also I'm trying to be more regimented about planning the next week. And instead of doing that on a Sunday, actually doing it on a Saturday morning.
Okay. Okay. Fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous. And lastly, what does success feel like to you?
Success to me feels like when I committed. So for example, I'm really proud of my live stream, Just Ask Share on LinkedIn. I've been doing it now for just coming up on a year now. So success to me is that consistency, that effort, that sticking through and making it happen, and also seeing results, because when I broadcast, I get opportunities, I build credibility and that visibility. It's an ongoing cycle of awesome, but really the success for me is that staying power, that I did it, that I do it, that I've been, you know, pretty consistent. I probably, out of all of a whole year, I've probably not broadcasted four times. Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am broadcasting. And on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, just to plug it. Yeah, absolutely. And to see that, that's a huge win for me. Yeah. And just to see the progress of where I started.
Yeah.
To where I am now and the comfort level. And it's just a testament that it just takes time. Just keep pushing. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. You know what I mean? Just keep doing it.
Excellent.
So that to me is success.
Okay.
Is that you saw it through, and now you can decide what you want to do with it, but you saw it to a point where it's reached its success point.
So next steps for Share then?
Next steps for Share right now, especially as it's everybody's pivoting, everybody's figuring out what is next, right? So one is the book. I was actually talking to my agent about the process, and so I'm really excited about that. So, and it is all about owning your awesome online, and it is for that that person who wants to build that digital, that influential, incredible digital presence, you know, because there's so many books out there about personal branding and getting, you know, being an influencer and all that stuff, but there's not for us, like these women who just want to develop a powerful personal brand that's really about a credible, influential presence. So, and I'm still, even as I get used to the differentiation between the two, it's like I've been saying personal branding for so long, but really that's been a light, especially right now in this digital transformation of how we conduct ourselves for work at work. And so this year I see myself as a big push on doing corporate trainings around that digital incredible presence for everyone, because we've seen mostly social selling training, and that all the salespeople get that, but it's like everybody needs to develop that credible and influential presence, especially when you're dealing internally or externally. So ramping up training there, as well as developing a mastermind for those who need to develop a powerful personal brand. And so it's going to be a mastermind that not only has one-on-ones, because I truly believe, you know, a lot of magic happens with one-on-ones, but also within groups. So it's both. And that's more of a longer term play, because personal branding takes time to develop that platform. So I do both, but it's just, I recognize that right now, especially in this spirit, this time of what needs to be happening, is companies need to be calling me to help me work with their employees that have, and that can influence with their credible presence, can influence sales, can influence talent attraction and retention, corporate culture, and also thought leadership, simply by having that credible and influential presence that represents an organization and themselves at the same time.
And I love that, because that's almost like an extension. One of the things I work with women is about their executive presence.
Yes.
So to me, that is really an extension
absolutely
or part of the whole thing. It's an expansion of it. Because before you had to worry about how you look like in the room. Now you have to worry what you look like digitally as well, and how that will propel you. So I really, really love that. So I'm really looking forward to that. I am absolutely looking forward to that. So Cher, if people want to connect with you or learn more about what you do, how can they do that?
The number one space that I would love people to connect with me right away is on LinkedIn. That is the perfect place to start. Of course, I have my website, sociallyactivetraining.com, but I love connecting. I love having those conversations. And that's where it's even as women in business, as women in corporate and working with corporate, we should be going connection first before sending somebody to a website, simply because this provides us an opportunity to do that two-way connection, as opposed to, hey, take a look. Okay, not right now. Maybe I'll connect with her later. It's just one of those things where staying visible, staying connected, and just being accessible on LinkedIn is where I'd love to connect with people. Fabulous. If not, I am all over. So you can find me. It's Cher Jones. So ITS Cher Jones. Okay. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, of course. But that number one spot is definitely LinkedIn.
Excellent.
For me.
Excellent. So Cher, thank you so much. You have been on my hit list. So I am so pleased we connected. And I think that's a lesson for me, and you know, overcoming your perceptions of what you think are your fears, and just reaching out to people I find interesting, women I find interesting. So thank you so much for joining me this week.
And thank you so much for having me. It's been a blessing. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Phew, well, didn't I tell you that was an absolutely fabulous interview? There was so much to take away from there. The fact that her work, how she managed to navigate working in a male-dominated field of sport journalism. And the things that stood out for me was, how about navigating her femininity to play the game? I've always been a big advocate of that. Back in the 80s, when I was getting into leadership, 80s, 90s, there was always the premise you had to wear the power suits, you know, look like a man, dress like a man, act like a man. And I love the fact that she actually enhanced or harnessed her femininity to play the game her way. I also love the fact a couple of key things that really stood out for me. Stop editing and execute. So many of us spend so much time, you know, editing, redoing, and looking over to find the perfect way of doing something, that we lose the whole impetus and don't get started. So the fact she says, you know, not waiting until you're perfect, start where you are and work with what you've got, is incredible advice. And if you're facing that time where you're thinking, what next in my career, what next in my life, that's excellent advice for you going forward. And I am working with so many women right now who are facing this whole challenge of transformation and having these internal dialogues with themselves as to whether they should make the move, whether they should pivot. Now is exactly the time you should be doing that, and it's never too late. So thanks so much to listening to This Woman Can. If you like what you heard, please help us out. Subscribe to This Woman Can on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the podcast right now. Share your review, give us 5 stars. And don't forget, you can actually join the This Woman Can community. You can be a member, it's free of charge. You can get to network with other women in the same situation as you. And you do this by just heading over to www.thiswomancan.coach. And if you would love to put a face to my interviewees, then you can watch us in conversation on the This Woman Can YouTube channel. So until next time, remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care.